There was for this afternoon reading and meditation desire to turn to Gospel of Luke chapter 22. Gospel of Luke chapter 22. I'd like to read verses 31 through 34 and then 54 to 62. Ljubim želim da se pročita iz Evanđelja po Luci 22. glavu 31. do 34. broj i onda gde nastavim sa 54. brojem do 62. This is on Peter's denial being predicted and then Peter's denial of Jesus. We read, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Verse 54, then took they him and led him, and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man also was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. May God bless our reading and let us kneel before our Lord together. So, loved ones, the story of Peter's denial is very familiar to each one of us. The record of it has been preserved, and we have read it many times together. And I believe that every time we read it, we can really observe and look into it and look into the depths of the meaning, and most importantly, apply it to our own heart and our own life to see how we would compare in light of Jesus walking with Peter for these three some years together, having called Peter out of the world. He called him. He chose him. The Bible tells us he chose Peter and the other disciples. And they responded. And when we read the response of their call, it was immediate. Peter, we know, dropped his nets, and he followed him. And he had 3 years of observing, of learning of the life of Christ and who he is, and trying to understand something that was prophesied. Jesus is there talking to them, telling them that this is the fulfillment of the Scriptures. And they just couldn't come and bring it together. But he walked with him, and he saw the manner in which Jesus lived and the meekness, and he saw him how he denounced the Pharisees and their religion, their hypocrisy. And so Peter here told Jesus that, as he is told, first the Lord tells him, Simon, Simon, Behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And I know that immediately all of us will think of this as the life of Job also. We think of the conversation that took place between Satan and God, where Satan tells God, well, you placed a hedge around him. Of course he's going to serve you. He has it made. Why would he want to leave you when you've given him everything that he ever could want and hope for? You've given everything to him. So, yes, he's going to be faithful to you. But touch him. Let me touch him. And you're going to see how quickly he's going to curse you. And we know that in the heavens, as we read, that Satan was permitted. So he asked and he was permitted by God. Now we can say, well, that's not fair. But who are we? We are the clay. The Bible tells us who is the clay to ask the potter, why did you create me this way? Or why did you do this? We are just clay in his hands. And so if Satan desires to have us, to sift us as wheat, he has to ask permission. He can't just run roughshod over our lives. He can't do that. Because the Bible tells us here that he asked. He says, Satan had desire to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And he says, but I prayed for thee. And really, if we look at this, if we look even in the Greek when he says here, and we know that wherever typically in the scripture where the word is to have you, the you is plural. And so it's an implication that Satan is desired to have all of you disciples of mine. He wants to sift all of you as wheat. But here we see that the Lord turns this now specifically to Simon. He says, but I've prayed for thee. That's singular. I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And he says, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So we see Peter who followed Jesus. And we know that he had already faced ridicule, faced as being one of those that is following him. They had already had mockings and so on, but their faith never wavered. They walked with Christ. He was with them. They had a full confidence in him. But they also, through walking with him, seeing the miracles that he had done, what he was capable of doing, Peter felt very confident in himself because of Christ. And that confidence was now more in himself because he says, you know, he has to listen to what Jesus told him. But, he says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. So he tells him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. Satan can sift me all he wants. Peter says, I'm ready to go to jail. I'm ready to go to death with you. Now, we have to understand that this sifting of the wheat, what it really is. The sifting of the wheat is that final step before that wheat can be used and ground into flour to be useful as bread. And during that sifting process, it is violently shaken so that when it comes out of the threshing floor, where it was beaten to separate the chaff and the wheat, you still have dirt and other things that are still clinging to it. It has to be sifted to become useful. Brothers and sisters, dear friends, we all will go through a sifting process. And we have to also know that Christ is there to intercede for us, to pray for us, that our faith would not fail us. The book of Hebrews tells us, it says, It says he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So he is telling Peter, I am going to pray for you. I have prayed for you. And dear ones, when we go through a sifting process, we may feel it. We may feel it. And we have to know that Satan wants to destroy us. Satan doesn't like what he sees. Satan wants to separate us from God so that he would be able to laugh in the face of God, that he was not able to keep us unto the end. And so Satan, his desire is one, continually to destroy. And so he violently puts Peter to the test here. And Peter is told, after he places his confidence, when I am ready, and brothers and sisters, we all have said that we are willing to go into death with Christ. And so we really are Peters here. We believe that if we are called to die for Christ, that we will die for him. But you know, as we live our life day to day, we may be sifted. And we see here that Peter is told, I tell thee, Peter, I'm going to tell you. You said what you said, but I'm going to tell you that the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. You're going to deny that you even know who I am three times, and then the cock will crow. And so we turn to the denial of Peter of Jesus. As they were leading Jesus and took him to the high priest's house, we have to consider that they were just in the garden. They were just in the Garden of Gethsemane. It is here that Peter pulled out his sword and flailed at the one who was ready to take Jesus and cut his ear off. He's not denying him. He's not ready to deny him. He's ready to fight for him. At that moment, Peter saw or thought that he was with the most powerful, and he's going to fight with him. But when he saw what Jesus did, and he saw that Jesus, he said, this isn't a time to live by the sword. When he healed the man who came to arrest him, and he allowed himself to be led away, and Peter and the disciples felt it, this is the end. They saw the crowd. They saw the false witnesses. They saw him being led away. They watched the cruel mockings of their Lord. And they saw him submitting. They knew he had the power. And he submitted. And they thought their journey was over. The one in whom they put all their trust into was going to die. What's with them now? What are they going to do? All their trust was in him, and he's gone. And so Peter, now shaken to the core, it says that the people around there, the crowds had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall. They sat down there, warming themselves up, and Peter goes and sits down amongst them. And you know, we can think of this, and we may envision that we would never experience something like this. But we may have already experienced this very same thing. Have we ever, ever attached ourselves to that which we know is not clean, to a group, to a crowd, to even one person who we don't want to speak the truths of our faith in Christ entirely, and so we will kind of attach ourselves to them and not be the witness that we are called to be. Attach ourselves to that so that we are more comfortable and we don't have to express our faith in Christ. And so we deny that we know him. It can happen. It may have happened. And it doesn't mean, dear ones, that we are now forsaken. It doesn't mean that Christ has no use for us. But we have to understand that we are being sifted. And we have to understand what Peter does here also. Peter denies, because it tells us a certain maid. As they're sitting there, Peter blends in with them entirely. His faith is not shining. Who he is, he's not with Christ. And you see, when we are with Christ, we are separated from the crowds. We will stand out distinctly. This maid now remembers him. She sees his face and says, "Hey, this man was with him." You know, she knows, what's he doing here with us? He belongs over there with him. And Peter denied, saying, "Woman, I know him not. I don't know Jesus." Jesus just told him, "You're going to deny that you even know me." Peter denies him. You know, we have denied Jesus. Whenever we sin, we deny him. What are we saying if we're not? What are we saying? We're denying something about him. If we have been baptized into the death of Christ, and we have promised a life of obedience and faithfulness to him, and we sin, and we are saying something. And so Peter here is denying, and this says time goes on, a little bit of time goes by, a little while. And another says, "Thou art also of them." And Peter says, "Man, I am not." And now it tells us about another hour goes by, and Peter's still sitting there with this crowd. And he sees Jesus afar off, and another man says, affirms, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him. He is a Galilean." Peter says, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately while he had spake, the cock crew. He heard him. And it says, "And the Lord turned, and he looked upon Peter." And it brought to Peter's remembrance the word of the Lord, how he said, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And here is where I believe, dear ones, that the prayer of Jesus came into full effect. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. When Peter recognized his sin, his faith didn't fail him. He recognized his sin, and he immediately wept bitterly. It tells us he walked out. We picture him in this time. This is in Jerusalem. He's out there walking through the streets, weeping bitterly in tears of repentance, sorrow, that he had forsaken his Lord. Dear ones, when we sin If we don't recognize that as a sin of a forsaking of our Lord, our faith is failing us. Our faith, which he is able to keep, us. And there was a purpose for the sifting of Peter that Satan desired, that Satan wanted to do. Jesus was going to use that for another purpose. That is why we are never to question anything that God lets us experience in this life. Look at this. He says, when thou art converted, when you have repented, strengthen thy brethren. Strengthen thy brethren. The disciples that are with you, your brothers, strengthen them, because they're going to need it. You see, that how often do we read the story of Job? And men through the ages have had a comfort in that. Because the Bible tells us, remember the patience of Job. Remember the patience of Job. Remember that. Satan had desired to sift him, but his faith didn't fail him. Peter was sifted here. His faith didn't fail him. He denied him. Yes, he did. But he recognized that. When the words of Jesus were brought back to remembrance to him. And brothers and sisters, this is why it is important not to put this book down. This is why it is important not to forsake the assembly. This is why it is important to pray for one another. This is why it is important to endure through trials so that our faith would come shining through, and that we then would be able to strengthen others by our own experiences. We find Peter in his epistle writing. He says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, not your brother or sister, the devil is your adversary. He is like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He has the sieve. He has the mouth of the lion. He is the one that is violently going to shake you to try to separate you from your faith in your Creator, in the one who has called you unto a life of holiness and faithfulness. He says, resist him steadfastly, him whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, makes you perfect, that he would establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. After the sifting, after you hear the roaring of the lion who is seeking to destroy you, be established. Be converted, as he says here, after Jesus says, after your conversion, after you have felt that, after you have felt what Satan has done to you, when you realize that your confidence has to only be in me, Jesus is saying, and in me alone, I will hold you. Now go and strengthen the brethren. Dear ones, do we not care about one another? We know that Peter was in a time of great not understanding of what had taken place. They thought it was over, but Jesus had resurrected. They saw him. Now what? Now what? We've forsaken him. But Jesus comes to them, we know, and he meets with them. And he commissions Peter, and he tells him, go and feed my sheep. And we see Peter, as bold as he was as a disciple of his, so he was as his apostle, chosen by him. My dear brothers and sisters, we are chosen. We're chosen by Him. We're chosen people. A royal priesthood, as Peter describes us. That we would strengthen one another. That when we fail, that through the reading of His Word, through the Word which must be in our heart and in our mind, that when we do sin, that we would weep bitterly, tears of repentance. Not dismissal, not Jesus will accept me, but repentance. The Bible tells us that without repentance, there is no remission of sin. None. And so, for you, my dear friends, also, Jesus is calling you. Jesus is calling you. And I know that you know, and as we speak, and as we look back on our own life before we began this journey of faith, we all felt the same thing that you feel today. Will I be able to stay faithful? Will I be able to completely give up everything? What I know He is asking me to give up. I know He wants me to live a life of holiness. I know these things. But will I be able to? And the answer is simply no. Peter thought he could. But the answer is no. But through Christ, yes. It is a way of self-denial. That when you do deny yourself and kneel before Him, He will empower you. And He will keep you. And dear ones, you know, this sifting process can be things that we don't even recognize as sifting. I could be given great amount of wealth. That could be a sifting for me. And I don't even know it. I look at it, oh, that's a blessing for me that I deserve. I'm going to live a life of leisure. I'm going to... Well, I just fell through the sieve. I fell through. Satan had his way with me. He shook me through and through, and I'm done. The sifting process, Satan will use anything he can do to separate us from our faith in Jesus Christ and to rely upon ourselves and to feel that we are worthy of the goodness of God. We are all unworthy servants. And we are all here as servants to serve Him and one another. And the love for Jesus will be spread throughout all in any way. Strengthen the brethren in any way we can. So, dear ones, this word is today, I look at it as a real word of encouragement for all of us, because we've all felt the sifting through the sieve. And when we look back at our life and we failed, dear ones, we have to come to Christ as Peter did. Repentance. Don't let your faith fail you. Put your faith in Him so that we can be established and strengthened and go strengthen the brethren. May God bless His word upon our hearts. Amen.
The Word of God is a fountain and a well that flows so freely when we receive it in faith and speaks to our hearts, especially when we see and recognize the struggle and the battle that each and every one who we encounter faces. And when we look into the Word for a more accurate picture of who Jesus is and how He is the one that truly we look to fill our every need. I hope that each and every one of us can take courage, those of us who are going through hard times, to trust in the Lord. And those who may be in between challenges, to pray for those who are being sifted. Maybe even take a few moments and look around you to somebody that you can speak with today, to show interest, to share, to help, and to pray for. Because if we lose the opportunities that we're given, they don't come back. So let's redeem the time, let us be encouraged, and let us be that servant that Jesus Christ is calling us to be, that we might fulfill the will of our Father which is in heaven, as Jesus Christ also did. May God bless his word. Amen.